Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bijou Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to hashtag couple goals question mark. I am Ben Jenkins.
And I'm Stacey June.
We are a married couple talking about our journey through parenting, fertility, the quote-unquote unnatural way.
We were just deciding whether we would chat about parenting in a pandemic or fertility treatment in a pandemic. This podcast has really been a bit of a mesh of whatever it is we are wanting to talk about at the time that we actually are able to record it, which is quite rare.
Yeah. It's not easy to find the time to
And both of those things chat. Are probably just as important to discuss today. But since many of you I think there's just a ridiculous amount of content around parenting in a pandemic. And whilst I believe that we all have unique takes, I think you probably, a few of you, if you have followed along and are on the TTC journey, and I will link in the bio actually, or in the show description, my very, I would like to say, funny article I wrote. I don't even know if it's up anywhere anymore because 10 Daily folded, but it was all of the abbreviations around fertility treatment because it's like TTC, what the F is that? But trying to conceive, I think many of you have followed us and may still be on that journey. So an update from that perspective seems like the most way we can be of service today,
more,
I would think.
More three-letter and acronyms. Or three-letter acronyms than a marketing department.
Thanks. Now, if you have listened to
comments from the Supercoach,
Ben's other podcast, because as if this family needs any more podcasts,
we do like to talk, don't we?
Yes, and we've had to work on that in our social life. We come home from social events, and we kind of have to remind ourselves to really actively listen because we're both people that have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And I think, do you realize that? Like, we were talking about pet peeves the other day and Ben loves a long story. And if I hear him tell someone like our friend or like my friend's partners and stuff, the long-winded version of a story, I just die inside.
Even if
some of my shit too. Like we all know I don't shut up as well.
Even if it's in the background, you'll yell out going, are you telling that story again?
I try and just use it as a reminder, like, have you asked that person about their day at all? And also...
That's a good point, though. I always have to be reminded.
You're very
that.
Passionate about what you speak of. It's not that you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
We're the same like that, Ben, and that's half the reason we butt heads all of the time.
We're
very similar, very different people, very similar. But I do feel I try at least have it in check, and I often try and control your version of that. Anyway, the point is, what was the point?
Well, you started going from the tangent talking about the three-letter
acronyms.
Oh, that's
right, Mental. No, I was talking about Mental.
Oh, Mental, yeah.
Your new podcast, the latest podcast that we've launched out of this family.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm ashamed to admit, but I haven't listened to all of the episodes in full. And I listened to one the other day, and you have a podcast voice.
Yeah. Which one did you listen to?
Oh, one of them. I don't know. The latest.
Oh, okay.
We'll link the podcast in the show notes also. If you haven't heard it, it's a brilliant listen. For those of you that may have partners that are looking for more content that Ben advocates for and creates, it's a really great podcast to listen to. But I have noticed that you have a voice.
Mm. I think that's just being exposed over, 20 years or so in the media industry. To presenters and just kind of naturally.
But you live with one and there could be nothing and
I live
further
with one. Yeah.
From a like a put-on voice from me, right?
No. No. Probably I listen to a lot of podcasts as well. So, yeah, it's just like osmosis. I've absorbed that style and that persona, I think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I get asked a lot about the difference between me online or me offline. And I very proudly can say that apart from them being very two different environments. And I've had to kind of explain that recently. No, not explain that, but I've experienced people struggling around me with that recently.
Yeah.
That it's actually not about me being a different person, but they are different environments and I'm doing different things in them, right? Yeah. Like yeah. It's a workplace for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, what you see is what you get. I just share some stuff on there that I might not share in my personal life. I'm not going to walk around telling everybody how to be, like, less anxious and to back themselves in my everyday life. Like, yeah. I'm sure I do if they ask, but do you know what I mean?
Well, it's focused.
I'm not going to be a coach, you know.
It's focused. When you're doing that, when you are talking about something, you're focused.
Mm.
And you are just have a direct tone about what you're talking about.
Can I do a bit of a plug, actually? I just thought something. Just some housekeeping stuff before we get into this. Obviously, we have a couple of things I want to talk about before we get into the actual fertility stuff. We're thinking about renaming this podcast. We might do a poll somewhere. I don't know, maybe on my own Instagram or your Instagram.
Yeah.
To Bijou Baby, because we feel like it's not really couple stuff, and I'd love to know what people thought. Do you think we should change it? I feel like Couple Goals was kind of cute and funny at the start, but now I feel a bit cringy with it.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, well, it's very much, it's taken a real turn. But I think when we started the podcast and what we were going through, you know, trying to conceive, we really were about Couple Goals for us as a couple and what we were going through at the time.
We didn't have Bryn, so we couldn't call it a baby podcast if we didn't even know we were going to have
him. But we were
him.
Also all about supporting each other through that journey, which was Couple Goals. You know, right. That's exactly what it was.
Well, it's evolving, and I do think that it's good to have it as a real kind of clear focus. Yeah. I think so many of our other projects are so big and vast that it's nice to have this and know that when you come to the mic, these are the kinds of conversations you're going to get, i.e. that's how we made that decision.
Yeah. Maybe we get to the end of this season and if we're still going, then we can
keep going.
Kick it off under a new name.
Who knows? Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to share was I do offer one-on-one coaching with lots of different types of people. And one thing that I haven't necessarily launched as a specific product or doing anything in particular, because I do feel like a lot of the things I offer fall under very different hats or very many different kinds of places that people find themselves in their lives. But I've started to take on, or people have found me, a lot more women in particular that are going through fertility treatment. So I just wanted to open that up and just say that if you are somebody that listens to this podcast and you are looking to potentially do some coaching or have some extra support that is specified to your experience, that my one-on-one coaching can be tailored to that because two things. Firstly, I wasn't 100% sure that was good for me personally in terms of my work and then my personal life. But secondly, it's kind of come to me and I found it very therapeutic and incredibly, I just feel like I have a fuckload to offer in that department.
Absolutely.
So if that's something that you feel called to do, then yeah, find me on Insta and DM or support at stacyjune.com.
Yeah.
I know, a bit of a shameless plug, but I also felt like maybe you guys might be interested in, instead of these podcasts being every 4 months, you might be interested in doing some more intense work because I do have some spots available towards the end of the year.
I think it's all about helping, and that's the thing. This podcast is there to help people on their journeys trying to conceive or even parenting or just feeling like they need a couple of familiar voices in their ears to get them through their day to talk about life stuff. And your coaching is exactly the same.
It's we also have some really exciting news like that we're kind of discussing. And I know it's such a wank when people do that. You know, we've got this news, we can't tell you.
Mm.
But these types of conversations and your interest in this podcast has really shown us to direct our energy into the work that we do to be much more service-led and trying to, you know, I get an idea of what people want from us without necessarily feeling like you're, you know, running a career based on other people's wants for you, but more how we can help in a more direct way. And the listens on this podcast, or at least the interest in it, has always been quite strong considering there's no consistency, there's no real kind of traditional podcast measuring system with this, but there's a real tight community. So we have kept this part of our journey and this, I guess, the potential work we can do in this space quite open. And so some interesting developments might come out from that perspective in the next few months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
It's exciting. Very exciting. Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Well, I think I've rambled so much because I'm avoiding this just think I've just said all that shit because...
We're talking about...
fertility.
Where we are on our journey, yeah.
Fertility
and trying to conceive the way we need to in a pandemic.
It's just also so hard to not talk about anything political, you know? Like, it's so hard.
We don't have to talk about anything political.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's really hard to not get into the ins and outs because when you actually involve New South Wales and Melbourne, like Sydney and Melbourne as two separate parts of our conversation, there's two separate whole worlds going on within them and they are in us, you know, it's really challenging.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk about.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the two worlds.
We'll begin.
We have our feet in two camps.
Yeah.
And
but we've spoken about that in the last podcast, right?
But we didn't give an update on what's happening and where we're at. So since the last time we spoke, I think we've had a couple more IUI attempts, both of which were unsuccessful, and another attempt that we couldn't go ahead with.
So that was one of the two that Ben spoke
of. Oh, yeah, okay, that was two. So we did, it was
well,
just the two.
Yeah, so we had two more from since the last time. And look, to break it down for you all, the last time was just on the precipice of Sydney's outbreak. Of course, at the time, we were not aware. We had some ideas that cases had started popping up a little bit, but, you know, Sydney has had that. Like, they've kind of had this, seems like a bit of a simmer in terms of COVID. Everybody, we all had the same lockdowns, and then they've had their bigger outbreaks, like, around Christmas, but it did feel like they were contained in certain parts of Sydney, so it didn't feel like the greater Sydney, everybody was locked down. Whereas this started to kind of pop up in areas that we knew, that we lived
in,
that our hospital is based in, and still do live in when we are in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, but having said that, two things about this particular IUI attempt that were different. The first point was, yes, it was starting to become clear that Ben and Bryn and I were in Melbourne at the time when we were trying our attempts. The second part to this picture, whereas the last time we were in Sydney already, the second part of this picture was that we, for the very first time ever, and I think this is a really important part of the conversation in this fertility trying, we decided to do an immediate attempt after the last failed one.
Back to back.
Now, we've never done a back-to-back. You guys may have done a fuckload, and I don't know how anyone survives that long-term. But we decided and felt very comfortable and confident that we were disappointed, but we'd just do another round and then see how we landed. Because I think we both knew eventually there is an impending IVF conversation coming, and we thought, well, we may as well give it a go. But in the past, to be fair, I've checked in with my gut and I've really found those negative pregnancy tests so devastating. And I'm a big believer in giving your body the chance to heal. And for those of you that are new to this process, many of you I'm sure aren't, you literally are injecting yourself 3 days after you got your period to start the next round, right? So my injection started on day 4 of my cycle. I get my period on day 1. Sometimes it's like just a bit of a tease. You're not even sure if it's a natural period or you're spotting. And then day 2, you know, blah, 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 blah. So then by day 4, you're injecting again.
Yeah.
So those were the two major differences in this final round that we've done, or the last round that we've done. And so I'm just going to keep going through with this experience because I do feel like it is very much mine. And I'll explain, you'll know more why I feel that in a second. But essentially,
you were at ground zero.
Well, I was by myself because I was the one that had to travel in the end. We made obviously a decision that Bryn and Ben would not be coming with me when those numbers started to creep up. But there was also not necessarily a discussion had around me definitely going because we weren't really sure of what was going on and how it panned out. But I was injecting and on a treatment plan, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like I knew when we started injecting that this is going to happen, and we all know how quickly this moves. So on the Tuesday, I decided instead of moving us all to Sydney, that we would stay in Melbourne, that the family would stay in Melbourne, and that I would go for the day on Tuesday. At that point, it was still looking like things were bubbling up, but I could go up and get my test and still have time if, you know, we kind of just figured everything out as we went. By Wednesday, it started to look like it was getting a bit more serious.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult because when it is looking more serious, like everybody in the world, you're just constantly guessing, you know, like you don't really know what to do. Not to mention there's all of the public pressure that is put on you to make decisions like this. Like the politicians really do put pressure on people. Like if you do this, you are putting everyone else in jeopardy or, you know, danger. And whilst I completely accept that, you know,
You still have to deal with it. You still have to manage it mentally when you've been injecting
things in your body and you're in the process of a medical procedure, right? Like it's not that simple to just bow
and
out.
And it's like just to add something in there, like this is, you know, in this time.
We also didn't know when we could ever go back.
No. Our
sperm is in another state at this point.
That's right. But the mental load is, and people talk about us all the time and lots of people don't talk about it enough. But the fact that our mental loads are just so much heavier in this time, because we have so much more to think about during our day-to-day lives. While you were doing this as well, you know, going through a fertility treatment, which is so mentally all-encompassing in itself, adding on top of that, the whole thing about whether you had to worry about, you know, doing the right thing or getting COVID, were you going to get sick? Am I going to get someone else sick? Should I even go? You know, I'm going to have to suffer the consequences of, you know, having to isolate for periods of time.
At that point, we didn't know that.
Yeah. It's just a double mental load, a double heavy mental load. Oh, put it that way.
And it's really big, you know, like at this point, you also are facing with the realities of why you're doing fertility treatment in the first place. Yeah. On this Wednesday was a very, this is hard to talk about. Like it was a very, it was a very impactful day because I actually feel like that day was a day where Ben and I really disconnected through the next month or so. It was very hard because Ben very much felt like he wouldn't have gone if he was me, and that was hard to accept. And also he was kind of, I don't know if you, this is how it felt. I'm not going to say what your experience was, but it felt like you had started to shut me out because what we discovered later was watching me go through this became very hard for him because at the end of the day, there's a lot of shame and guilt around why we're doing this because of Ben's cancer and what, you know, what that looked like for you. But I'll let you share that in a sec. Yeah. But, you know, so this Wednesday was already becoming tense, right? We were like having to make decisions and I felt very alone in it. You kind of put your head in work a bit and I think you weren't really confident to say that you know, don't go in a way because you did not want to get in the way of me doing that either.
Yeah.
So I felt like you kind of shut down, but I understand why you did that to try and give me support to make my own decision, but it just felt very isolating in the end. So I went. I went on the Thursday as I was in my appointment. We'd already decided to drop my dose. So we'd upped my dose this round as well. And by the Wednesday, I'd been told to drop my dose because potentially I was growing too many follicles and that we needed to pull it back. So now I just look back and think, fucking hell, I should have just not gone. Like, but
there's
nothing you can do. And also, as my girlfriend said, you're in your IUI or IVF bubble, right? There's like you literally as a woman, I don't know if you feel this, Ben, but you're so fucking focused on that, like that end goal of getting out of this time and getting into the weight. Like it's really hard. You just stay very kind of almost deluded in a way. Like you cannot see anything else.
I know what you mean.
I couldn't. It was just the only thing I could focus on. And I didn't realize that at the time. Like, I've learned that now. But at the time, I thought I was able to see everything.
Yeah.
And now I look back and I was like, I couldn't. I could only see one thing.
Yeah.
So I went Thursday morning with Ben and Bryn, and I left them behind in Melbourne, thinking I would come back a couple days later and after I had this test, got my results, stayed in a hotel, didn't see friends, didn't see anybody, stayed near the hospital, just, you know, at this time, no one was in restrictions or anything. I just was going to try and do the best I could to stay away, as safe as I could.
It was like a Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I literally didn't want to put anyone else in trouble. I didn't want to put it myself or anyone in Melbourne, blah, 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 blah. So, but no one was in lockdown. Like, let me get that straight. I wasn't kind of heading into a lockdown. There was no restrictions really at this point. Masks had started to come in. But it was, but the numbers, if you're in Melbourne, the city would have been in lockdown. So it was tricky because my friends were like, shit, have you seen their numbers? Melbourne would have probably been in a hard lockdown by that point.
Yeah.
But Sydney was not. It was legal for me to go. So it was hard because, as I was saying earlier, the two states are living two completely different approaches here.
Yeah.
And so I went. And
even at this stage, with the numbers that we're at here, that we're here in the middle of all the 20th of
we're
August.
We're in Melbourne right now,
and the numbers in Sydney are like over 600. So they still, you know, they have changed and they're looking at different things, but they have a very different approach still.
Parks are still open.
Yeah, you can still go to the playground.
You can go to Officeworks too. One of my membership members told me the other day. Anyway, so I went, and then in the middle of the appointment, it became clear that they had, well, I shouldn't say they, but I had been overstimulated. So basically, I had three, almost four follicles over 15 millimeters, and it is procedure for this particular public hospital to cancel the entire thing.
Yeah, for fear of having
Too many kids,
triplets, basically. Yeah.
So then I came out and was absolutely gutted. And I came out to learn that a man who had attended a particular party had travelled to Melbourne, and Melbourne was now declaring instantly, which I had understood was, I think, Friday night at midnight, whereas this was Thursday. At this point, I'd decided to go. Thinking I'd be back well and truly by then. They declared Sydney an instant red zone, so I had to come back immediately and quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah, which was very hard.
So, yeah, it was like a miscarriage for me. I definitely felt a very severe loss and grief that was very, very, very hard. Like, I thought a miscarriage was hard to articulate and for anybody to understand the grief when it wasn't, in inverted commas, a human-side baby. But this was like a whole other level. Like, I think the double trying really fucked with me too, because it was like I hadn't really grieved the last one. So then I had double grief. I had a quarantine situation. I had a pretty unhappy marriage, to be fair. We were both pretty, we both found it very hard. And I was grieving horrifically. I felt like I had had the most insane loss. And my body really shut down. I didn't get my period for, goodness me, almost 2 weeks after my due date. So my body was just completely amped up on hormones and very unsure of what had happened. Thank goodness eventually I did get my period, and it did feel like I shed an entire experience out with it, and it felt very, very symbolic and very emotional and very, yeah, very somatic in all of that. Even though there wasn't like a fetus or there wasn't something that I was actually losing physically, it was like a long amount of hope and just different dreams and different expectations put into this round, because I think moving into IVF, it is a very big, or potentially the conversation around that, it's a very big grief to this idea I've had, which is trying to fall pregnant as naturally as possible. It just feels like a step away from that, and then it also feels like a step closer to the end, which may mean that we may never get another baby, because IVF is that step closer to it may not working at all. And then we've run out of options. You know what I mean? So it was very loaded for me. And I had a lot of therapy and had to work through a lot. I felt like friends didn't quite understand. I felt like I couldn't there was just no way for anybody to really understand what I was going through. And no. I was all alone in my house.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I think we got very, well, I think I did. We got very caught up in something that we both know that you can't sort of change, and that's timing. You know, when it's right, when it's the right time, it's the right time. And I know for me, I was like, we've got to get this couple of attempts in before shit gets real. And Sydney goes into a lockdown, and you know that was a little while ago now, and it's only gotten to where we are here today. But yeah, when I look back, I think I was telling myself I was hopeful rather than feeling hopeful.
That's so true.
You know, and it was like,
yeah, I know. Okay, I know exactly what
this is going to work. This is going to work. It's going to work for sure. It's going to work for sure. And then I'm not surprised that. You know, that it didn't because there was so much stress going on at the time. It just wasn't, I feel like we were just trying to force it to happen when it wasn't meant to happen just yet. And look, we've got to fall back on that and go fall back on what we believe. And that is trusting in the timing. And right now isn't the time. It's as frustrating as it is, because it's a,
and regardless of what that reason is, whether it doesn't work with your attempts, whether it's because of a pandemic, what, you know, like,
yeah.
It's interesting because, yeah, sometimes it helps for you to believe that it's about timing, but you're trying everything.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you're trying or not, timing does, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, that it is frustrating that timing is what it is because of, you know, government decisions, and I'm not going to go into that here. It is what it is. But that's where we are here, unable to get across the border where our sperm is, where our doctors are, where the people we trust are. Not to say we don't trust people here in Melbourne yet, because we haven't had much of an experience of
well, we can't get in
the system here yet. Yeah. It's very different from Sydney, and you know, without, you know, I'm not sounding demeaning or derogatory, but it's a little bit further behind here in Melbourne than it is in Sydney.
Well, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
They don't actually have any kind of support for cancer patients, like, and that's just happens to be our specific case, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we can't choose to be polite about it. That's just a fucking fact. We have a program that we're in that has looked at us with some form of special consideration. Because we're doing fertility treatment because of cancer. Now, I'm not saying that that is how it should be or shouldn't, but that is what is on offer to us there.
Well,
and it is just not on offer here.
Meant to be for us there, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, you know, that's it. We're kind of stuck. We're very hamstrung. I think we were both very hopeful that something was going to happen when it did start and it kicked off, and it wouldn't be anywhere near as the situation it is as it is right now. But the way that governments are and the way that they act to suppress this virus or try and suppress this virus means that we're basically locked out of New South Wales. If we went there, we wouldn't be able to get back home. So it's a very tough situation.
Well, we probably right now. Could. We just have to go into quarantine.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and we are able to, we're lucky. I know there's many of you that may not even be able to access fertility treatment.
Yeah.
We technically can.
Yeah.
But we'd have to quarantine with the toddler, and, you know, having just already been through a quarantine for a fertility experience, I do not recommend it. So we have to be mindful that in that 2-week wait and that conception of a child, that you also don't want to be bringing a baby into environments that are that full on, you know, like, so that's the other thing that you start to kind of lose. You start to kind of lose a bit of your value system, right? When you're just kind of winning. Like, that's what my girlfriend said. IVF feels like it's a competition with yourself. And the only person that we all lose if we're essentially A, trying to force something, B, trying to control timing, and yeah. C, push up against a grain or a force that doesn't feel conducive or juicy of pleasure, love, harmony, contentment. Sure, there's angst and excitement and anticipation and anxiety in there, but you can't just have that times 20 billion. You need to have some form of the very core things that you hope natural couples have when they have sex and make love and have a baby. You have to try and keep it as close to that as possible.
Yeah.
And diving straight into a place that's a red zone and then coming back into quarantine, even if we can do it, it's not conducive to any of the things I just said.
No. And it did, you know, afterwards you're kind of wrestling with all of it going, wow, was that just really foolish? What were we thinking trying to do that?
Like, well,
because
yeah.
then you do see that you were really pushing hard against something. So you're already pushing hard against the odds to have the baby, you know, at the age we are and the way we're doing it already. And then we have another force that we were pushing against at the same time. Like I said, it's like a double mental load as well. That didn't really help the situation, I bet.
I think it's really hard to, when everyone else is going through the pandemic stuff, so you're already feeling quite isolated and everyone's feeling like they don't have proper emotional support because everyone is second guessing what they can say because they're so concerned that they're going to look like they're complaining when they're in a privileged position, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So everybody's kind of holding back. So that emotional support's not necessarily there like we thought it would be. Like, we moved and, you know, wanted to be in Melbourne, not just so Bryn could know his family and friends here, but also that we knew that trying for a family for the rest of our lives, whether that was one extra child, two extra children, was always going to be a really hard road, just like it was for Bryn.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's disheartening to think that we made those decisions to get the support around us that, of course, our loved ones are doing their best, you know, but a couple of things. We're in a lockdown and they've been through a lockdown for the better part of 2 years, like a year and a half. And the other thing is, I think it's really easy, and I don't know if you guys feel this, I think when you are trying for number two, or potentially you've been trying for number one for a long time, I think some people just start to assume you get used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not shitting on anyone. I think it's just assume, well, this is their life. That's pretty tough. Anyway, what are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard because it's hard for them to gauge how to support you too, because you do want to talk about it sometimes, you don't want to talk about it other times.
And they're going through a lot of shit at the moment.
Well, that's
themselves.
What I said straight up. Like, yeah, you can't have expectation that people can be the best family member or friend that you would imagine in these times. No, and I want to say that. I don't have that expectation.
Yeah.
But it just is an extra thing that makes it hard, you know, that you, yeah, we all probably need support in some ways, but see how I'm going back on my word, because that's how we are at the moment. We feel so guilty to say things because we don't want to offend or upset people that are all struggling too. And so everybody just doesn't speak.
Yeah.
But if I honestly want to speak, it's fucking hard to not have that support and acknowledgement of how tough it's been in this home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
To not really have people see us and live it with us.
I know, yeah. They can't sit with you and be with you.
Yeah, or social connection just to have a distraction.
Mm-mm. And that's the thing. We were like, you know, came back and then...
And legally. You can do it illegally. You can sneak around. You can go to each other's houses. But even if you decided to do that, you feel guilty about it. You feel shit about it.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Like, it's still not the same.
Yeah. There's also, you know, just coming back to it, there's, you know, being in isolation like we had to be, or like you had to be, I was okay.
Which is just weird.
Oh, no. So Stace comes back, she has to be in isolation, but I don't have to be.
As long as we have a separate bathroom.
Yeah. But, you know, you're forced to confront everything that's going on inside. Like, it just comes out. Like, you have no distraction, no escape. So then you end up having to start dealing, you know, with all of that. And that's where I was going to come back to the you know, stuff that came up for me that was really the what you touched on before, which was around my personal experience with my cancer and the shame that that I have, and, you know, and it's not really in a conscious or at a conscious level until something like this happens, I guess, or happened. And that was, you know, I felt the shame around my cancer because it had affected you in that time and in that situation. And I'd never really had that before. And, you know, even though that happened 10 years ago, it was like really prevalent in that situation when I had really dealt with that a lot in my past, my past experience. So it was really hard for me seeing that affect you. And then that brought all that back up for me. And ended up, you know, really having to deal with it, and ended up having a coaching session, which was a coach working on focusing on stuff that's not very different, but it is different to that. And it really kind of came up in that session, and there was a whole bunch of stuff that came up in that next session I had with him after that. But
and that still didn't necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for, move it on either. Still kind of, you really, well, I won't say hung on to it, because I think everybody just needs the time they need. But
yeah,
as I was explaining to you the other night, the hardest thing about these scenarios is that your experience is my experience is your experience. So
yeah,
if you're hanging on to that, then there's no ability for me to be truly heard and seen in my experience.
Yeah.
And because I was in so much pain, I was not able to see your experience.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
it
yeah.
was, yeah, it was, it's, it, it was really hard. And we're just kind of, when I say coming off the back of it, you did the coaching, but then we also had to see, our therapist, like a couples therapist,
yeah,
which
yeah.
to be honest, guys, we should have been seeing the entire time.
Yeah, we didn't realize that. But,
yeah.
you know,
and
having...
And us being these people is crazy. We
yeah,
didn't
I know,
realize
yeah.
this.
We thought we were so much more on top of it than we were. It was just a situation like this that came up where...
Well, I actually think that... Sorry to interrupt. I know I keep... But I actually think... I think being on top of it would have meant we were in therapy.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? I think not being yeah, in therapy yeah. is the absolute symbol to
yeah.
tell us.
Yeah.
We're not on top of it.
Yeah.
In a way. And I think that's I'm going to get a little bit more, less apologetic about this moving forward. Like, I've had to get a bit more clear on this in my personal life. And I think from a professional perspective, I'm scared of what it's going to say to people that aren't in therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to become a little less, yeah, apologetic about the fact that if you're not in therapy, the chances are you don't have your shit together.
Yeah.
Because you're almost avoiding what you need to be dealing with at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Ish. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
A lot of people can do that on their own, but I reckon in this instance, many people...
Yeah. Well, it wasn't until that session as well, like you're right. And it wasn't until that session where we had realized that we were both on our own different islands. And I think, like what I was coming back to what I was saying before, I think that's what's happening in these times, is that people really, you kind of, and it's really happened to me or made it clear to me very much with what's happening right now, and that's not just COVID, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world, that you kind of get to the point where your shit is so big that it just occupies so much space in your consciousness that without you even realizing it, you just don't have a lot of room to consider someone else all the time. And then when you're in a situation where you're married and you're a close couple, and before you had a lot of time for each other, that you sit there and go, hang on, your partner goes, hang on, what's going on here? Why are you being so selfish? And it's very hard to see how much impact this, you know, this COVID situation has on everybody, not just us with what we're talking about here and us having to travel back and forth between two cities and how that's been hindered. But for everybody, it's just become a real big elephant in their brain.
Yeah, and I think couples can still be very different politically, very different from an approach to this kind of thing. You know, I've had so many conversations where, you know, couples have really disagreed with the way with certain rules, and then some have agreed and some have been wanting to stretch it here or not stretch it there, and others find that really challenging and not, you know, not at all acceptable. So there is a lot also going on in relationships without any of this too. You know, it is really a testing time for everybody.
Yeah.
I think the thing, just to kind of come full circle with this is that, yeah, we absolutely have learnt that we do need to be in therapy regularly, maybe fortnightly at least monthly, when we're actually actively doing fertility treatment. That's a non-negotiable for us now because there's so much to unpack individually that if we don't do it in a place where somebody can professionally help us bring us together in doing that, it can be very hard. The second thing I wanted to say was that I really do think that it's very difficult for men to understand a woman's experience in this.
Yeah.
And again, I think we come from a very conscious relationship, a very modern relationship. You know, I was quite surprised at how some traditional stuff, even moving into early parenthood, really stood the test of time. I felt that there was so much that I wanted Ben to experience. And it really was at the cost of Bryn, you know, like I think I didn't ever end up following through, but there were so many things I wanted to do early days when we finally met Bryn that were for Ben. And I understood pretty quickly that that may not have necessarily benefited Bryn because Bryn actually needed the mother. And that's not something that can be necessarily equated to as a 50-50 or an even situation. And I think fertility treatment can be very symbolic of this time in that you're both going through it, but really it's there's only one person somatically experiencing this, physically experiencing this, not to mention how difficult it is to articulate hormones and mood swings. And, you know, it wasn't until I really came out of this horrific grief and kind of was bouncing around the lounge room one night being silly where Ben was just looking at me with this smile going, oh, hi, you know, hi. Yeah. And I was like, Ben, you have to remember through all of this that this is who I am. Not always. We're going to have bad moods or we're going to have days, but it's a pretty confident assumption that me as a person is incredibly energetic and incredibly positive. That is me on a default. And anything that takes me away from that, lots of things will take me away from that. That's a default. It doesn't mean that's how I am all of the time. But you can assume that if I am away from that default, something's happened. Something's going on with me.
Yeah.
Whether that's with my body or whether that's with my emotions, because something happened. Yeah. And I think it's important for everybody to remember this when you go through this for each other, that emotions will start to rise and we can't all take it personally, but in particular dudes really have to get this message across that it isn't personal. And I promise you guys, what you're feeling is nothing on what we're feeling, you know, because you don't want to be a bitch at times. You don't want to be broken. You don't want to be the sad one.
Yeah.
It's not something you want.
No, I know.
You don't want to be walking around with grief that you can't explain to people and they don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
So if you're being that person, it's because it is no other choice at that point. And not to feel it isn't helpful either. So I think I really struggled this time with that. I really struggled with obviously Ben processing his own stuff, which absolutely is fair to do. But that really made my experience a bit of a backseat to him. And I understand now that I can't always put all of my eggs in one basket, which is in Ben, and for him to give me everything I need all the time. And I've learned that. But sometimes it is really hard when your partner's going through something and you really feel like you deserve that full attention and support because your body and yourself have gone through so much. And so I don't have any regrets or blames of the way that we dealt with this, you know. We did our absolute best, but I think I really want that to be a couple takeaways, that therapy is an absolute necessity and a non-negotiable if we do this again. And also that that my experience is very much separate to who I am. Like I'm kind of working through as a little incubator that's being shoved with all this different stuff to grow something that we both gain from. And it's only my body that goes through this, you know? And I feel like in some ways, as women, we're so afraid to say, I take priority. Put my needs first. It is about me. And I learned that from my birth. I learned that the only way for me to have a successful birth was for me to own that goddess. Everything revolves around me.
Yeah.
Because it is all about me.
Yeah.
We do not get told that in life. Men get told that all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like that was a big takeaway for me.
And I think that's the thing, you know, and this is something that, you know, probably very few men are at a point with, because we do get triggered, like everyone does, men and women, by so much of their stuff, from their inner child to their inner critic to whatever it is. Like, they're all just massive triggers, and that's why you end up in arguments, because of these things. And there's your wounded masculine and your wounded feminine. But in this time, and I did it during, you know, the birth, is standing in your masculine strength. Like, knowing that you do have to be devoted to the goddess that is your wife in this situation. And when you're conceiving, and when you're going through a birth or something like that, it really does come down to that masculine and feminine dynamic.
That real old school stuff. Yeah. That's why I brought that up early days, because I think we thought, oh, we're a conscious couple.
Yeah.
Everything's even. Ben deserves to have as much time with Bryn as me, or... that's just not fucking survival. Like, you can't get in the way of actual nature too. At the end of the day, you're feeling stuff, and definitely you in particular, Ben, that has also had a bodily, physical element of this situation, even if it was in the past.
Yeah.
You're going through stuff. I get it. But at the end of the day, your body cannot produce this baby. So it's going to actually be in everyone's best interest that the woman feels as stressed as little stress as possible.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's very hard. And like in this time, as I was saying, like, it's all, everything gets so personal in this time. Like, you're in your own little bubble. You've got so much shit to think about.
You're so over each other. We have just had points where I've just been like, I could barely look at Ben through this time. I was like, I have not got anyone else to look at. And we're just in this so much pain, and the only thing we can do is look at it, and then to get away from it is looking at the other person who has their own pain.
But as blokes, we have to do the work to be able to stand firm in our masculine and be as strong as we can for our woman. It's
and
it's,
you've
imperative
got to admit
that we do
that. You find that hard.
I found it hard. Yeah. And in this time, it was very hard to do that. I didn't do that. I took a lot for granted in these last couple of attempts.
Like how I was saying with friends.
I thought I had it on lock, and I had it so far off lock.
We did not have it on lock at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very aware of that now. And look, you know, I think just to kind of round out this conversation, time will tell if we're going to have another try here. Like, we don't know what the situation is or what will happen. We'll be recording more of these conversations, because we've got a beautiful, beautiful little son who we are both feel incredibly blessed with. And you know, we want to talk about what our life's like with him as well. And that's one of the things
that we walked away from a little bit. I do think at the moment the focus is this conversation. And I do think we will do another episode on where we are now. I think that's enough for today as an update. But I think where we are now is a very unique place, and what I've come to personally in that place is really, I think, an important conversation to have too, which I very much feel like was a very integral point to getting to meet Bryn. I don't know what it will bring for us, but I do think this place of really having to look down the lens of some realities of this time, this age, everything that we're looking at in terms of not just what our hopes and dreams are, but potentially what our future holds for us that may look differently to what we had planned.
Yeah.
So that will be a very big and another episode.
All right. Well, having said that, I think we can probably close this episode off, eh?
Hey guys, did you hear his voice again? He just put on the voice like the...
Was it
it's
the voice?
The top and tail voice. You went into your normal voice as you were telling your story and your take on it.
And then I was like, all right, guys. Okay, well, that's enough for today. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. That voice?
A little bit.
I was probably a little bit too much.
Not too much. Just a voice.
Just a voice.
Not right or wrong. Thank you so much for being here. And if you feel this conversation could help anybody that you know, maybe you're here because you follow my journey or Ben's journey as a separate thing and not necessarily a fertility, you're not necessarily TTCing or trying to conceive, do share it. Do find a place for you to put it up there, because there may just be one person that you have absolutely no idea is trying and struggling in these times behind the scenes. And I think it's just nice to do that for them, even if you're not aware of who they are.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Such a private thing, you know. You might not have any idea that someone's struggling.
Yeah. Very much we have created this so that we can share our story for others to feel less alone. Yeah. That's the simple reason that we have crafted this.
Yeah, the only reason. I mean, we kind of had to stop and start this particular episode a few times, and I wasn't that keen. You know, it's a hard conversation. I feel like we're out of this right now. But we do it because we do both feel at the very, very bottoms of our heart that these conversations do help heal others, or at least feel a little less alone in that feeling. Not to skip feelings, just to feel less alone in them, you know?
Yeah.
So thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another Bijou Podcast production.